I'm home.
The podium's off, right? Podium mic. Yes, I'm home. This is home. Let's look in our Bibles at Luke chapter 12.
Luke chapter 12.
There'll be a lot of bugs that we have to iron out over the next several weeks, but shall we pray? Father, I thank you so much again for an opportunity now to open your word. And I ask, Lord, that you would speak in a mighty way through your word. May we ever be mindful of what's important, of what really matters. I ask that you would speak by the power of your Holy Spirit through your word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. A couple of weeks ago, I went out into the garage to do some cleaning. Some organizing, some reorganizing. Couldn't believe all the stuff that I had. I had stuff that I didn't even know that I had. And I'll tell you, just so much stuff sitting there collecting dust. Just absolute crazy. All this stuff. If you ever get worried about not having a lot of stuff and you're bummed out, I got a cure for you. Go clean out your garage. Or that storage shed or that closet that you know about. You have way too much stuff already. In America, it is absolutely ridiculous how much stuff we have. Mark Twain gave this definition of civilization. He said, civilization is a limitless multiplication of unnecessary necessities. I think that perfectly describes America. So much stuff. My brother and sister in Christ, Christian, it is so very, very easy, especially here in America, for us to become preoccupied with all the wrong stuff. It is so easy for us to become trapped by stuff. We have got to discipline ourselves daily, even hourly, to focus on the right stuff. And my prayer is that God would speak to us in a mighty way, straight to our hearts, about all our stuff. Look what it says in verse 13 of Luke chapter 12. Jesus has been teaching to a crowd of people, and it says in verse 13, then one from the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Now, this is a man who is preoccupied with stuff. He is stressed out over stuff. He's having a problem with his brother over inheritance issues. And you know, it's been said often, where there is a will, there are a lot of relatives. In those days, the inheritance of the family went to the sons. The firstborn son was given a double portion of dad's inheritance. All the other remaining sons were given a single portion of the inheritance. So if a dad had two sons, the inheritance was split up into three portions. The firstborn was given two portions. The secondborn would be given one portion, and that's just how it worked. Now, we don't know all the details of what's going on here, but this guy is obviously very bummed out. He feels like he's been slighted. He's not happy. And so he blurts out of the crowd, teacher, tell my brother to give me some stuff. I want some more stuff. And I find it so interesting here because for those of you who've been with us for the last several weeks, Jesus has been talking about some very intense information, hasn't he?
test. Can you hear me now?
Jesus has been talking about all sorts of very intense stuff. You remember last time together we talked about the unforgivable sin? The unpardonable sin. Now Jesus has just been warning people about committing the unforgivable sin. He's talking about matters of the soul, issues that involve eternity. And it seems like this guy in the crowd hasn't heard a single word. Just, Jesus, tell my brother to share his toys with me. Give me more stuff. That is the greatest danger about being preoccupied with stuff. When you are preoccupied with all the stuff of this world, you become dull to what really matters. You lose sight of eternity. You lose sight of spiritual things. And that's what this man has become, absolutely dull, only worried about stuff. I think one of the most pathetic examples in all of Scripture is Esau. You remember Jacob and Esau? Twin brothers. Esau was born moments before Jacob. And so he was given the birthright. He's the firstborn. If you remember, Esau went out into the fields and was hunting, went on a long hunting expedition, didn't catch anything, and so he came home and he's starving to death. Jacob was a homebody. He was sort of like Emeril of the Old Testament. Gourmet chef, and he's put a lot of soup, this awesome, wonderful soup together. You remember the story? And Esau says, oh, let me have some of that soup. And Jacob says, give me your birthright. And Esau says, okay. And he gave away his birthright for a bowl of soup. How dull can a person get to what really, really matters? But you see, that's what will happen if you are preoccupied with stuff. You totally lose sight. Well, I love what Jesus said to this man. In fact, I really love it. Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? In other words, dude, this isn't my main area of concern for you. I did not come to fix your petty little earthly disputes about stuff. I didn't come for trivial matters like that. Take your case before the civil authorities where it belongs and let them deal with it. Gang, I think that speaks volumes, don't you? Jesus Christ is not preoccupied with our stuff, is he? He's not preoccupied with us getting all the stuff that we think we need. Jesus isn't in heaven losing sleep, holding his breath, fretting about how we might be able to get all the stuff that we think we need. And yet the way you hear some Christians pray, you might think that they think Jesus is preoccupied with all their stuff. Oh, give me a new car, give me a new house, give me a new job so I have more money to buy more stuff. Jesus didn't come for that, guys. Jesus came to bring eternal life to people. You know what the main area of concern is for Jesus? Your soul. Your spirit. Salvation. Eternal life. Jesus came to die on the cross for our sins so that we might be forgiven, so that we might have a hope of heaven, so that we might become born again. Jesus came to change our hearts so that we would know the truth, and so that we with changed hearts could live justly and godly with people. So it seems that Jesus really didn't care much and didn't bother himself with it. And then he gives a very strong warning. Look at verse 15. Take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. That is a very, very strong warning. Take heed and beware of covetousness. And notice that it's not just directed towards the man who's stressing out over the inheritance. It says in verse 15, and he said to them. He is now turned to the whole crowd. Everyone is there, and he says, be on your highest alert against covetousness. And I think Jesus would say to each one of us here this morning, be on highest alert against covetousness. And the language is so strong. It's like covetousness is this vicious, ferocious beast that's always on the prowl, always coming against us in our lives. And we've got to be on highest alert. Covetousness. Seems like such a small sin, doesn't it? When you compare it to all the other sins of society. But covetousness is a sin. Did you know it made God's top 10 list of sins? It's one of the 10 commandments. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or maidservant. In other words, don't covet your neighbor's business. You shall not covet his ox or donkey or Lexus or Mercedes. You shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. The word covetousness here in verse 15 in the root meaning simply means this. And listen, I think this is so important. It simply means to have more. To have more. It's speaking of greed. In other translations, it's translated, beware of greediness. Oh, listen, brother and sister in Christ living in America. He is speaking against not being content with what we have. The idea is wanting and striving for much, much, much more of that which you already have enough. That's greed. That's covetousness. It's hoarding. It's amassing, collecting. The person who has a house that's so adequate for every member of the family, it provides all the shelter, all the needs that the family needs, but for a person that's not enough and they have to work and strive and get the biggest mansion on the hill, get it all. For whatever purpose, maybe to boost up self-worth or to get some kind of status or to feel important. A person might have a wonderful car to drive, gets them from point A to B. It's enough. But a person says, I want more, more, more. I want something much greater, much better. Give me the best and give me six of them. Give me the Batmobile. And a bat cave to go with it. Person's closets might be absolutely filled with clothes. But a person in America says, more, more, more. I want more. I want to make a fashionable statement. I want to impress my friends. Guys, that is huge here in America, isn't it? Isn't it? That is the game that many, many people play. Many people are living to get as much stuff as they possibly can, to hoard it up, to build their own empire, to build up their own status, their own self-esteem. Why do they do it? I don't know. They just want more status, or they want to keep up with the Joneses, or there's that saying, he who dies with the most toys wins. You know what? He who dies with the most toys dies. And don't get caught up in it. We have advertisers in this country that spend millions and millions of dollars trying to convince us that we need more stuff. And they're very clever
and they're very effective. And each one of us must be on guard against the monster called covetousness. Every single one of us struggles with it to some degree. Let me read just a couple verses from Scripture. Christian, this is your motto. This should be something you're thinking about so much when it comes to stuff in this world. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, it says, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.'" Listen to what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Paul the Apostle writes this, "But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness." After that strong warning, Jesus goes on to give very, very important principles that I think we need to remember when it comes to worldly stuff. At the end of verse 15, he says, "And I said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Remember that about worldly stuff. Your life does not consist in the abundance of stuff. There is much more to you than your stuff. You, as a person, as a human being, are more important than the stuff that you own. Who you are on the inside, your character, your heart, your spirit, your soul. Your worth as a human being is not measured by stuff. Your stuff has absolutely no bearing whatsoever to your value before God. Now, we live in a worldly system, in a worldly society, and we know that that's not true out there, is it? Let's face it, it's not. Out there in the world, in the society, the idea is, man, people are fighting over stuff, and you are evaluated by the stuff that you own. People come to you and size you up. They make conclusions about you. They evaluate you by the car that you drive, the clothes that you wear, the neighborhood that you live in, the social gatherings that you frequent. Out there in the world, that happens all the time. In the world, people are assessed by how much stuff. And people are impressed and they talk about it. And it's a big deal out there. We've all met the person who comes and tells you about all the money he has or she has and all the stuff that they might have. You ever have that? "Hi, my name's so-and-so and I've got 50 people working for me. Nice to meet you." Or, "I live here," or, "I drive this," or, "I have this much power," or, "I have this." You know what? That is so boring to me. When somebody starts talking to me like that, my eyes gloss over. Who are you? What are you about? Tell me what you're into as a person. The Bible truth, the gospel truth is this. Your life does not consist in the abundance of stuff. I will tell you this. I promise you this. Jesus Christ does not care what kind of car you drive. I think he cares that you have a car, but he doesn't care what kind. Jesus does not care about the neighborhood, what neighborhood you live in. None of that impresses him. We are all perfectly equal before God, are we not? From Bill Gates to the poorest beggar in the poorest third world country, we are all equal and on an equal plane before God. There's no difference. There are no VIPs with God. A poor person bows his head to say a prayer to God, and then a rich person bows his head to say a prayer to God. Does God stop? Ooh, somebody more important is praying. Let me listen to the wealthy person. No, it's not like that. Your value is independent of what you own. Maybe you sit here this morning and you have to admit, you've been caught up in the rat race. You're out there trying to get all the toys. You believe that lie. Those who die with the most toys win. And there you sit. I want you to know something. You are working very hard for something that adds no value to your life in the eyes of God. You are not a winner in the eyes of God because you have a lot of stuff. He loves you for who you are. Maybe you sit here this morning and you sort of feel like a loser. A low life. You've had business deals go bad. Business plans that have been so tough. And you don't have a lot of stuff. And you compare yourself to others and you think, boy, I wish my kids could dress the way their kids dress. I wish they could go to a school like their kids get to go to a school. I wish they could have this. I wish I had this like other people have. And maybe you feel like you're a loser and you're on the bottom end of the scale. Listen, you are not a loser in the eyes of God because you don't have a lot of stuff. God loves you just the way you are. The world will tell you you find value in all your stuff, but don't believe it. Listen to the Bible. You are much more important as a human being just because God made you and loves you. Amen. Amen. The second principle, and I think this is absolutely obvious. When you die, can you take your stuff with you? You cannot take your stuff with you when you die. When you die, it's all gone. As Paul said, I brought nothing into this world. I will bring nothing out of this world. I've been a pastor for 11 years. I've done many funerals. I've never seen a hearse dragging along a U-Haul. Let me tell you right now, when you die, it's over. No more stuff. All that stuff stays behind. And by the way, all that stuff will be burned up. It's temporary. It won't last. I want you to see this beautiful, powerful parable that Jesus then said to the crowd. Verse 16. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I'll do this. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. The man in this parable had a problem that I think a lot of people would like to have. He was too rich. He had too many resources. He had too many goods. He has so much stuff that he doesn't even know where to put it all. And so what's his solution? Tear down the small old barns, build new ones, bigger ones, amass, hoard, get it all. Again, it's greed, covetousness. And you can tell that the man in this parable is very impressed with himself, isn't he? He's very proud of his accomplishments. He's very self-reliant and self-confident. Look at all the my's, my crops, my goods, my barns, my toys. He thinks he's a cool cat, huh? He thinks he's something else. What did God call him? Fool. This night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? He's making all these plans about where he's going to put all of his stuff. He's going to live at ease. He's going to retire. And what he doesn't know is that very night he's dying. And he'll leave everything behind. The foolish thing a person can do with this life is spend it to amass treasures for himself. All the stuff in the world can't help you when you die. All the stuff in the world won't go with you when you die. And the real tragedy here for this man in the parable is not that he has to die and leave all of his stuff. The real tragedy is that he's going into the next life poorer than the poorest beggar. When it comes towards being rich towards God, because this man has thought nothing of his eternity, of salvation, of his relationship with God. Oh, listen, don't make that same foolish choice with your life, where you are spending your life amassing treasures for yourself, building your own empire. You'll leave all that stuff, and that stuff won't help you on your deathbed. It won't. I remember the story in the Old Testament book of Jonah. I don't know if you remember the story. Remember Jonah the prophet went out on that boat, and he's with all those other crewmen, and they go out and they're on the ocean, and it's rocking, and there's storms, and oh my goodness, they're going to sink. And they're a cargo ship, so they're carrying lots of goods. Guess what they start to do when it gets really serious? Guess what they do with all the cargo? Very lucrative stuff. Lots of money invested. The time of your death, you'll be throwing your stuff overboard. It won't matter. What really matters? Being rich towards God. Thoughtful of eternal things. Having a relationship with God. Obeying God. Don't ever forget that about your stuff. Can't take it with you. Why would you spend so much time in amassing a bunch of stuff that you can't take with you? Let's see a few other principles about our stuff to always remember. Verse 22. Then he said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. I think there are two extremes when it comes to worldly stuff. The first I've already mentioned, being greedy for too much stuff. And perhaps that's a temptation that's more applied to people who have a lot of money and a lot of resources to begin with. But then there's another extreme that we have to be aware of, and perhaps this is more applicable to people who don't have a lot of money, having a hard time making ends meet, poor, worrying about stuff. Where am I going to get food? Where am I going to get my clothing? How am I going to pay this bill? How am I going to make these ends meet? Oh, how many people worry themselves sick over stuff, even when they already have everything they need. To worry about stuff is an absolute waste of time, and it's an absolute waste of energy. Anxiety is destructive. It hurts you. Stress affects your health. Did you know that? Your attitude, your relationships. Look what it says there in verse 22. Therefore I say to you, do not worry. That word in the Greek literally means to be torn apart. People get torn apart over stuff. Look at verse 29. Do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. That word anxious mind speaks of having a mind that is tossed to and fro. It's a word that's used of a boat, again, that's on the sea, in a storm, tossed to and fro. How many people toss to and fro at night? Torn apart in their minds, wasting so much time as they worry about stuff. Worrying about stuff is also absolute waste of energy. Can you do anything by worrying? Does worry accomplish anything in your life? Jesus said in verse 25, and which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Corey Ten Boom said, worry does not empty tomorrow of sorrow. It empties today of strength. Worry does not empty tomorrow of sorrow. It empties today of strength. How do we keep from worrying about stuff? Brother and sister in Christ, you have a wonderful Heavenly Father, don't you? You're His child. You belong to Him. And did you just see this beautiful passage that we read? Here He promises to take care of you. God takes care of the ravens. God takes care of the lilies. God even dresses up the grass that they mow in the afternoon, every afternoon. You're of way more value than all that stuff. Don't you think God will take care of you? He promises to take care of you. And you got to begin trusting your Heavenly Father. George Mueller said, the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. Trust God. Place your faith in Him. Go ahead, you can answer it. Oh, I'm sorry. Trust Him. You got a great Heavenly Father. Now, there are some Christians that take this to extreme and they say, well, I don't have to do anything. God's just going to float meals to me. Don't have to worry about it. I don't have to do anything. I've met Christians who actually live a lazy life because of this. I don't have to do anything. God's going to take care of me. Oh, come on. Ravens aren't lazy. This is not an excuse to be lazy. We're to work. We're to be responsible. Amen. God has given us that responsibility. And you and I should work very hard to take care of our families. And you and I should work very hard to be good stewards of what we have so we don't get into debt and come up with more anxiety in our life. Do what's right. Be responsible. But listen, I know a lot of Christians who have done all that and still worry themselves sick. Trust the Lord. Hold on to Him. I have found that my Heavenly Father gives good things. I have found that many times He'll give me more than I've ever asked for. He'll give me special little blessings. He'll surprise me. Parent, what are you like with your child? Do you just give them the basic necessities and that's all? Or do you surprise them every now and then? Isn't it cool to watch their little eyes light up when you give an extra blessing to someone? God does that with us too. We have a wonderful Heavenly Father. Trust Him. One final principle, and I really believe this is the key. This is the key to balance in your life concerning stuff. Verse 31. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That is the most important principle you can remember. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Keep your focus on heavenly stuff. On the kingdom. Let me tell you, if as a Christian your eyes are focused on heaven and advancing the kingdom of God here on earth, you won't fall into greed. You won't become overly anxious about stuff. And here's the wonderful thing. If you focus on the kingdom of God, what does God promise? Give you everything you need. I love how C.S. Lewis has put it. Aim at heaven and you'll get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you get neither. People spending all their life working hard for stuff when they could have gotten that along with their ticket to heaven had they just trusted God. There's a wonderful contrast that you see in this passage. All the stuff that people try to get here can't go with them. But it is possible to send stuff ahead of you into heaven that will last forever. Treasures that no thief can destroy or can't rust or no moth can get. That's what we need to focus on, amen? How do you get rich towards God? How do you seek the kingdom of God first? Well, the very first thing you need to do is have a relationship with God. Become a child of God. Then walk with God. Then obey God. Then get your life involved in those things that are important to God. Use the resources that He's given you to expand the kingdom of God, to help other people. Listen, I don't believe that it's inherently sinful to own a lot of stuff. It's sinful when a lot of stuff owns us. Everything that God has given you, consider it God's and become a steward and use it to bless. You are storing up riches for yourself in heaven. That guy with the bigger barn. Oh, I got to build a bigger barn. I got more stuff, so I need a bigger place, and I got to put it all in there. And what if he had thought about, hey, you know, with all the surplus, I could bless a lot of people. I know a lot of people in need in my neighborhood. Or there's a homeless shelter that I could help out. Be generous with your resources towards the things of God. Amen. It's a great investment. Everything that you invest in heaven stays. As I mentioned earlier, I cleaned out the garage a couple of weeks ago and I saw all this stuff. What I'd like you to do this morning as a Christian is sort of clean out the garage figuratively. Look into your life. You and your stuff. What's your relationship to your stuff? Maybe reevaluate. Maybe organize. Maybe rearrange. Maybe clean out. And let us use our stuff for the glory of God. You know, I'll be honest with you. I love this new place. We got bugs to work out, but I even love the bugs. These bugs on the stage are much better than the bugs I used to battle against in the tent. And I like the stuff. I like a lot of this. I like the project. Isn't it great to be able to see the words when you sing now and all that? And man, I am so thankful to God for all this stuff that I'm telling you right now. Every bit of the stuff we have will be used to the glory of God. And it will be used in the advancement of the kingdom. That's where it's at. Live a life that's free from stuff. Don't make a living, make a life. Use your life for the glory of God. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Father, once again, we thank you for taking such good care of us, for loving us so much. May we never become those who are dulled to what really matters in life due to all the stuff. I pray that you would help each one of us in whatever situation we're in economically, wherever we're at. I pray that we would adjust according to the convicting work of your Holy Spirit. We want to use everything that you've given us for your glory. Lord, I pray that you would free your people from worry. I pray that you would guard your people from greed. Make us generous and gracious as you have been with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand.
all sing Open the Eyes. Here we go.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. And open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Bless you guys. May you have a great week.